Today we'll continue our study of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 4, the confidential reasons for the Lord's appearance. We'll be chanting a verse from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which we have as Nectar Devotion. Our context is that we're discussing how the gopis' love for Krishna has no trace of lust whatsoever. In this chapter 4 of Adi Lila, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami submits from various angles of presentation evidence to show you that there's no way you can confuse the pure love of the spiritual world with anything mundane. He goes about it from various angles. He wants to show you the natural symptoms of the gopi's love for Krishna. In this way, your spiritual senses become more prominent, your material senses become purified, and you'll find your own material desires can decrease once you're able to hear these topics with a submissive and educated mentality. Just like in medicine, medical work, sometimes medicine is very powerful, and before you can take it, you have to build your system up first. So similarly, hearing about Krishna's pastimes with his intimate consorts can purify the devotee of attachment to mundane lust, but you have to be ready to take that cure. Otherwise, the medicine will produce an adverse effect. Instead of becoming purified, you'll putrefy. Kaviraj Goswami is presenting another natural symptom of the gopi's love that shows it to be without a trace of lust. How is that? The gopi prem, the love of the gopis, nourishes the sweetness of Lord Krishna. Their love only serves the purpose of increasing Krishna's sweetness. And as Krishna's sweetness increases, the gopis' love increases. All their efforts, in other words, are for the pleasure of Krishna. And then when Krishna is pleased, his beauty and sweetness increases. And that increase of beauty and sweetness in Krishna, in turn, increases the love of the gopis. There's nothing for their own self-interest. Their happiness is in the happiness of their beloved. There's no question of a relationship based on desire for personal gratification. Do you have any experience of that in this world? A relationship not based in the slightest on the desire for personal gratification? Any of you had such a relationship? Not in the material world. Not possible. You expect something from the other person. And if you don't get it, then naturally you want to break the relationship. The purpose of the relationship is a business exchange, more or less. It's like, you give me what I want, I'll give you what you want. Sometimes I'll sacrifice for you. Sometimes you sacrifice for me. I'll undergo inconveniences for you, but remember, you undergo inconveniences for me. I'll do this for you, but in the future, I'll be expecting some benedictions. And in this way, the label love is attached to all this. While making these mercantile exchanges, the head spins, and the hormones boil for a while, and and this whole pot of various secretions and emotions is called love. When I was a younger devotee, maybe 20 years ago, I gave a very famous lecture called Secretions and Emotions. How the exchange of such is considered love. When we speak of the spiritual world and its intimate affairs involving spiritual bodies, completely pure emotions, there's no question of personal gratification, not even in the slightest. That's why it's inconceivable. We don't have an experience of such in this world, a place where everyone's trying to get something from someone. Kaviraj Goswami explains, whenever there is unselfish love, that is its style. The reservoir of love derives pleasure when the lovable object is pleased. When the pleasure of love interferes with the service of Lord Krishna, the devotee becomes angry towards such ecstasy. This is the standard of real love. Everyone wants to be happy in a relationship. Everyone wants to feel joy from a relationship. That's the end product. But here you see that in pure love, if the pleasure of love interferes with the service of the beloved, the devotee becomes angry towards such ecstasy. So, when have you ever seen such in the material world? You have not. Everyone just wants the ecstasy as the end result. But in pure love of Krishna, the service is the end result. You don't want anything to interfere with that. Think about it. It may be hard to understand, but just by hearing these topics, you'll become purified. And even if there's a slightest movement in your heart towards, yes, I'd like to be like that, just a slight movement in that direction, Krishna as the super soul in your heart notices. And he makes arrangements. So we're not afraid of even a slight development of a desire in this direction. Even hearing about it, talking about it, asking about it, produces some movement of the blockages. And Krishna notices. And he helps. So it's not impossible, because the Lord is there in the heart. He helps the sincere devotee. Otherwise, whether you're a materialist or a spiritualist, you are helpless. You can only desire, materially or spiritually. Krishna arranges the fulfillment of the desires. By hearing about Krishna and his intimate devotees, you develop a desire to come to the standard. And Krishna notices that. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that the gopis had no desire for selfish enjoyment. Their feeling of happiness was indirect, for it was dependent on the pleasure of Krishna. When you hear their feeling of happiness was indirect, immediately you probably think, well, that means it's kind of weak, it's kind of insubstantial, right? Everyone wants direct happiness. You want the people, the world, to make you happy directly. It's hard for you to conceive that indirect happiness is the best. In other words, you simply focus on pleasing Krishna, and as a secondary or tertiary effect or happening, you become happy. This is hard to consider. How can I act in such a way that my own happiness is not the first consideration? And here we learn that the happiness of the gopis, their feeling of happiness was indirect. Who wants indirect happiness? It must be weak, almost imaginary. It's got to be front on. Full on, right in your face. Your happiness directly for you. This is how different the spiritual world is from the material world. By rendering devotional service, you get an attraction for simply serving Krishna for his pleasure. That's the advantage of performing devotional service under rules and regulations. The behavior of a pure devotee becomes attractive to you. Pure devotional service simply means acting only for Krishna's pleasure, not considering your own pleasure. And we've already heard that the indirect feelings of happiness that the gopis get are thousands of times more intense than the direct happiness Krishna gets. This is the mystery of the spiritual world. Of course, then Krishna comes as Lord Chaitanya in the mood of the best gopi. And this way, he tastes that pleasure that's a thousand times more than he gets in his role as the Supreme Beloved. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada comments, causeless love of Godhead is always so. Such pure love is possible only when the predominated, the gopis, is made happy by the happiness of the predominator, Krishna. Such unadulterated love is exemplified when the lover deprecates her happiness in service that hinders her from discharging it. You'll start to notice that if you stick to the path of bhakti, that you're going to get to a point that you don't even want your own so-called ecstasy, real or imaginary, to get in the way of your service. That's possible. You're simply thinking, how can the one you're serving get all the care and attention? You don't want your personal feelings of ecstasy to impede your service. Your service to the beloved is everything. This is what you learn by constant engagement in devotional service. It is possible. Just like you could never conceive 10 years ago, most of you, that you'd be doing what you're doing now and thinking the way you think now. Well, similarly, 5 years from now, if you stick properly to the path of bhakti, you'll be at a place where you could never conceive of. What you think is impossible now, 5 years from now, will seem possible. This is the way bhakti yoga moves on, moves you along. So please remember this theme for today. When the pleasure of love interferes with the service of Lord Krishna, the devotee becomes angry towards such ecstasy. Now we'll chant today's verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We'll be discussing a medley of verses today, from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and also from Third Canto Bhagavatam, spoken by Lord Kapila Dev. Anga stambam, anga stambarambam utangayantam. Premanandam daduko nabhyanandat. Kam saratir vijanayena sakshad.
Kam saratir vijanayena sakshad.
Akshodiyan antarayo vyadayi. Anga stambarambam uttangayantam.
Anga stambarambam uttangayantam.
Premanandam daduko nabhyanandat.
Premanandam daduko nabhyanandat.
Kansarate vijaneyena sakshad.
Kansarate vijaneyena sakshad.
Akshodiyan antarayo vyadayi. Anga stambarambham uttangayantam.
Anga stambarambham uttangayantam.
Premanandam daruko nabhyanandat.
Premanandam daruko nabhyanandat.
Kansarate vijaneyena sakshad.
Kansarate vijaneyena sakshad.
Akshodiyan antarayo vyadayi. Anga of the limbs. Stamba arambam. The beginning of stupefaction. Uttangayantam, which was causing him to reach. Prema anandam, the joy of love. Daruka. Daruka, the Lord's chariot driver. Not. Abhyanandat. Welcomed. Kamsa arate. Of Lord Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa. Vijane. In fanning with a chamra fan. Yena. By which?
Sakshat.
Clearly. Akshodiyan. Greater. Antaraya. Obstacle. Vyadhayi.
Has been created.
Sri Daruka did not relish his ecstatic feelings of love, for they caused his limbs to become stunned and thus obstructed his service of fanning Lord Krishna. This verse is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Om Agyane Chimalandasya Gananjana Shvakya Chakshumalitamina Tazvai Shri Gurave Namah. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhuna Dananda Sriya Dvaita Galada Subhasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami always submits verses from various shastras to justify his point. Just like the perfect lawyer in court always submits evidence. Similarly, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you get the gems from so many shastras all woven together within the presentation of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and his instructions. You already heard that when the pleasure of love interferes with the service of Lord Krishna, the devotee becomes angry towards such ecstasy. So let's have some examples. First of all, you hear about Sri Daruka. He's the chariot driver of Lord Krishna. You may remember from the Krishna book. Sometimes he's fanning the Lord with a chamara fan, you know, the whisk that is used in arti. As he's fanning the Lord, ecstasy starts to rise in him. And his limbs are starting to become stunned. That's one of the ecstatic symptoms. Astasatvika. Now, you might think, oh, I'm feeling ecstasy, great. That's the main thing in Krishna consciousness, is relief from material distress and feeling ecstatic. I don't have to buy any ecstasy pills, and still I feel ecstatic. Yes, this is the goal. But what's happening here? Sridhar Rupa did not relish his ecstatic feelings of love. The ecstasy was causing his limbs to become stunned, and therefore his service of fanning the Lord was being impeded. Service is the everything. This is the spiritual world. So different from material consciousness, isn't it? It's so different, you may wonder, will I ever attain such? So far beyond me. It's almost foreign, alien. But by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, this is all possible. It's not that Krishna's torturing you by dangling all these unattainable things in front of your nose. So you'll be like a donkey with a carrot in front of the nose, going forward, never getting the carrot. No, these things are completely attainable by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So please remember that. Don't underestimate Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who makes the most sublime treasures easily available in the most degraded age. We'll go on to the next verse, which is also from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion. Govinda Prekshana Shepi Baspa Pura Vivarshanam Uchcha Anandad Anandam Aravinda Vilochana. The lotus-eyed Radharani powerfully condemned the ecstatic love that caused a flow of tears that hindered her sight of Govinda. Now you may know that there are five types of liberation available to the devotee. The devotee really acknowledges only four of them. Next, Kaviraj Goswami is going to show you that a devotee doesn't even aspire for these types of liberation. A devotee doesn't want his own personal pleasure if it interferes with the loving service of the Lord. He begins to explain before quoting Lord Kapiladeva, the third canto of the Bhagavatam. Furthermore, pure devotees never forsake the loving service of Lord Krishna to aspire for their own personal pleasure through the five kinds of liberation. Purport. A pure devotee of Krishna who loves him exclusively will flatly refuse to accept any sort of liberation, beginning from merging with the body of the Lord and extending to other varieties of liberation, such as equality of form, opulence or abode, and the opulence of living near the Lord. And then you hear Lord Kapiladeva's verses from the third canto. Madguna shruti matrena mahi sarva guhashraye manogatir Arichchanna yata gangam pasom bhuto. You get the example of rivers flowing into the Ganges. A nature example, which you can use to understand the flow of pure bhakti. Just as the celestial waters of the Ganges flow unobstructed to the ocean, so when my devotees simply hear of me, their minds come to me, who reside in the hearts of all. Don't use the flash. The This is the symptom of pure devotion. As soon as you hear about Krishna, as soon as the sound vibration of Krishna's glories enters your ear, you're attracted immediately. When that starts to happen, then you know you're becoming purified and you're maturing in devotional service. Simply when you hear about Krishna, your mind immediately runs to Krishna, who resides in the hearts of all. Just like the celestial waters of the Ganga flow unobstructed to the ocean. Nothing can stop real devotional service. No material impediments can interrupt service. Somehow the devotee always goes on with service to Krishna, in spite of changing material conditions, material obstacles. Somehow the devotee always goes on. That is a symptom of purity. Just like you don't stop breathing, similarly you don't stop serving Krishna. Of course, when this body is finished, then you stop breathing. But the soul is never finished. Therefore, devotional service never stops. Lakshanam bhakti yogasya nirgunasya hyudaritam ahaituki yava vahita ya bhakti purushottame. These are the characteristics of transcendental loving service to Purushottam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is causeless and cannot be obstructed in any way. What does it mean, causeless? Ahaituki. Causeless means no material motive. Just like in the first canto of the Bhagavatam. Ahaituki apratiyata yanatma supersedati. Savaipun samparo dharma. That religious system or that spiritual system which produces pure love of God. Pure love of God meaning devoid of interruption. What causes interruption? Material motives. When your material motives aren't satisfied, you stop your service. No interruption and no material motives. Therefore, there won't be interruption if you don't have material motives. Material motivation makes you consider, as soon as you don't get what you want, or get enough of what you want, you stop your service. Therefore, there's interruption. Real loving service to the Lord cannot be interrupted. It can't be obstructed, and is causeless. It has no material motivation. Lord Kapiladev continues. Salokya sarshti sarupya. Samip yai kaptam apyuta divyamanam nagarinanti venamat sevanam jana. My devotees do not accept salokya, sarshti, sarupya, samipya, or oneness with me, even if I offer these liberations, in preference to serving me. A devotee is not even interested in going back to Godhead physically. A devotee is simply interested in serving Krishna. Lord Chaitanya demonstrates that kind of spontaneous love. Ainanda tinu jikinkaram patika mam vishame bhavam buddho. O son of Maharaj Nanda Krishna, I am your eternal servant. I fall into the ocean of repeated birth and death. Please pick me up and place me as a pure devotee at your lotus feet. He doesn't say, please pluck me out of material world. He says, place me as a pure devotee at your lotus feet. Also, Lord Chaitanya says, Mama Janmini Janmini Svade Bhavata Bhakti Ahaituki Tvai. Birth after birth, I don't mind, just as long as I have devotional service. This is the standard of pure love. The fifth type of liberation, as you know, a devotee never considers, merging into the Supreme Lord. because there's no opportunity for service there. And it's not an eternal position. The living entity is always the servant. Therefore, you can't stay merged with the Lord. It's just a temporary situation. The effulgence of the Lord comes from Krishna Loka. That spiritual effulgence emanates from the Lord's personal form at the topmost planet in the spiritual world. And that spiritual effulgence pervades Vaikuntha. And then it's there in the material world too, but it's covered by matter. Actually, everything is personal. So in Vaikuntha, the impersonal Brahman has a personal form. There's nothing ultimately impersonal. There's no question of a devotee considering Sayuj, oneness with the Lord. But actually, for his own benefit, the devotee won't even consider the other bona fide liberations. Salokya, living on the same planet as the Lord. Sarsti, sharing the opulences of the Lord. Sarupya, having a form identical to that of the Lord. You can do that in Vaikuntha. There's two or three features of Krishna's body that are unique. It's like the Srivats, the white curled hair on the chest. But otherwise, you can have a form like the Lord in Vaikuntha. Samipya, to be a personal associate of the Lord. Lord Kapila Deva is saying, even if I offer these liberations, the devotee won't accept if it hampers his service to the Lord. The preference is always service, service, service. Now we have a verse from Bhagavatam, 9th canto, spoken by the Lord in connection with Maharaj Ambarish. Matsevaya pratitam te salok yadi chatushtayam nichchanti sevaya purna kutonya kula viputam kala viputam. My devotees, having fulfilled their desires by serving me, do not accept the four kinds of salvation that are easily earned by such service. Why then should they accept any pleasures that are lost in the course of time? So in other words, the Lord's explaining, if my devotees don't accept the four kinds of liberation, which easily come from devotional service, why in the world would they ever consider accepting temporary pleasures of the material world or merging into Brahman? So then what is the conclusion? Kaviraj Goswami said, the natural love of the gopis is devoid of any trace of lust. It is faultless, bright, and pure like molten gold. He's given you enough evidence. The gopis know Krishna's desires, and they know how to render service. They know how to render perfect loving service for his enjoyment. They perform their service expertly for the satisfaction of their beloved. And of those gopis, Srimati Radhika is the foremost, the most expert devotee of Krishna. Therefore, we pray to Srimati Radharani, please recommend me to your Krishna. Oh, please remember these points. Don't brush them out of your mind, dismiss them, saying, oh, it's beyond me. I'm just struggling to walk a straight line in devotional service. And we're hearing about this such incomparable standards of pure love. But this is the natural activity of the soul. To love like that is natural. To love like people think they are loving in the material world is artificial, perverted, So what's wrong with hearing about the natural thing? All right, we'll pause here for a few questions.
Yes. Kind of naturally task orientated person. How do you become more sensitive in what you service to push more emotions rather than
execute your tasks with great care, tolerating any inconveniences. And that will develop, increase the selflessness in you. Be more conscientious in doing the tasks for Krishna than you would in doing them for your own self. Think, Krishna deserves much better than even what I would do for myself. Undergo, be willing to undergo inconveniences for Krishna's service that you never undergo for yourself. Those who are distributing books, doing that service, they can easily see that. They all know. Ordinarily, I would never do this. I'd never be out on the street approaching people with books. But for Krishna's pleasure, you voluntarily undergo that inconvenience. And of course, you know, someone like you could be on the street. Just like someone extended a great favor to you to become Krishna conscious. Similarly, you want to extend that great favor to others. So that's an example of something you wouldn't ordinarily do. But for Krishna's pleasure, you take that up. Any service, when done properly for Krishna, has dedication. Those who cook all the time, you know, through all conditions, your indication, trying to make the tastiest preparations to offer to the Lord for His pleasure. Those who are managing, you know how you have to be on top of everything and considering so many angles. You take it on what looks like to be a headache for Krishna's pleasure, but it becomes a labor of love. Can you say that about any task you do in the material world? Whether it's work or school, you tell all your friends and relatives, it's a labor of love. No way. But if you didn't go to say that, but you do it's a labor of love. It's going to be saying it about the university, it's a labor of love. What service to Krishna indeed is a labor of love. That's what makes it so exciting, and you see such room for personal development in pure love of God. As a devotee thinks, I have been appointed to do this task by Krishna. Let me do it to my best ability, and let me simultaneously beg Krishna for more of it. It is that service attitude that makes the kirtan sweet. The more selfless the devotees are, the sweeter and more potent the kirtans are. Kirtan is for the pleasure of the Lord. Actually, in the beginning, of course, you want to experience the relief of kirtan. Relief from material anxiety. That's okay. But as you advance more and more in the kirtan art, chanting and dancing, you realize you're chanting and dancing for the pleasure of the Lord. That'll come gradually. In the beginning, it's all right. Get out on the floor and work out. Have a rave for Krishna. But gradually, the pleasure will become more and more pure and selfless. It's not that when you become pure and selfless, there's no more pleasure. No, that's when the pleasure begins. Mm-hmm.
Could you please explain in what mood we should chant Hare Krishna mantra? Because I was told that when we say when we chant the name Rama, that we are asking for the mercy of Lord Nityananda to recommend us to Srimati Radharani so that she can recommend to Krishna. Is it clear understanding? Or?
By the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. When you chant Hare Krishna, you're saying, my dear Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. Now I'm serving the material energy, but please engage me in your loving service. So you chant like a child calling out for mother. Just like we sang the other night. When will I get Lord Nityananda's mercy so I'll be free from material desires? Or they'll become Kavituchahave, they'll become insignificant. It's like a little bug is buzzing around the room and it's brushing off. That's what the mercy of Lord Nityananda does. Then you can get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Gauranga bodhita habe prudhakashanya. When you say the name of Lord Chaitanya, your eyes flood with tears and your body shivers. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you can understand the loving affairs of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna, it's a meditation for engaging in Krishna's service. Oh my Lord, oh energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. You don't have to make anything so complicated and esoteric. Krishna's there as his name. You don't have to do any intellectual gymnastics. Just let the sound of the holy name roll from the tongue into the ear, down into the heart. You don't have to put your mind through any contortions. You don't have to put your intelligence through any asanas. Chanting, we're trying to chant with the mood. Here is Radha, here is Krishna. As you progress in your chanting, it'll always be a constant effort not to have the feeling that let me see how quickly I can get done, but rather let me see how I can chant with attention and devotion. That you're chanting with attention and devotion doesn't mean you have to chant slow and space down. So it's always something you have in your consciousness. And not chanting just to get through, but not chanting with devotion to catch Krishna's attention. If you chant nicely, Krishna will hear nicely.